The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Start your day, the Torah Way, Northwest London, Yid Aleph Sivan, Tuf Shiyan Pai. Wednesday, the 3rd of June, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, spiritual antibodies. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isaac. Good morning, everyone. Last time we spoke, we were able to speak live. Hashem should help, in the coming time, it should be live again. But at the moment, this is better than best we could have now, is at least we could still speak to each other. So first, I'd like to take opportunity, as usual, to thank the organizers for making this, for letting me be part of this wonderful thing, this Torah Way, start today the Torah Way. It's unbelievable. Schiz Rabim, it's a Zikir Rabim. And Hashem should help that the Schiz should be Megan on them, and all the people, all the participants should also be zeichet to everything they need. I would also like to thank for all the feedback that I get, that I constantly get, especially this last shiur that I spoke in the beginning of the coronavirus. I don't know if you remember, it was probably one of the first shiurim that I spoke about the topic. I think the title was the right vaccine, the real vaccine for coronavirus. So I got a tremendous amount of feedback from that shiur. And I thank for all those who took the effort to give me some feedback on it. It was a big chizik. And I didn't know that, you know, that it's such a widespread thing, this Saturday the Torah Way. If I don't know how many people listen to it, but I got feedback from all over the world, even from America, from everywhere. From all over the world, people obviously have seen this Torah. So especially this is a real Chizur Rabim, and it's a privilege for me to be part of this wonderful program. I'd like this shiur to be the Eli Nishmas. It happens to be today the Yutzat of my great grandfather, the Menachas Yitzchak. I don't know if anyway, he was otherwise known as Zion Weiss. He lived in Manchester for many, many years, and after finally became the Reuven in Yerushalayim, he gave out the famous Hetzer Purim, Zeit Menachas Yitzchak. So it's a big honor to be able to speak on the day of his Yutzat. I'm not sure if this shiur is for another, if someone else donated it, but if it is donated for someone else's honor, then it should be for their honor also. So, as usual, I'd like to start off with a couple of questions, and then afterwards, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll get to the main topic. So, first of all, as we all know, we are now still within the 7 days after the Yontov of Shviyas, which is called the Shivas Yomayim Meliyim. It's still the 7 days after the Yontov of Shviyas, which means that if someone had to bring karbunas whilst it was El Rego, if someone didn't bring the karbunas for Shavuos, he could still be Mashlim and bring the karbunas still up to 7 days after the Yontiv. We find other poskim say that if someone forgot to make a Berucha Shechiyuni on Shavuos by night, then he could still be Mashlim and he could still pay it back by saying a Shechiyuni up until 7 days after the Yontiv. So obviously, Mishnah Berurah brings down that the meaning is that we don't say Tachnun on all the 7 days after Shavuos, because it's still part of the Yontiv. It's as if, like a long Chol HaMoed, the Yontiv is still continuing on, which basically means that we all know that Shavuos has a particular Avodah that we have to do on Shavuos, with the Avodah of Naas V'Nishma, and every single year we have to do this Avodah of Naas V'Nishma all over again. So what this means is that if someone did not take the chance and did not take the opportunity to say Naas V'Nishma, then he could always pay it back up until 7 days later. So I'd like to speak a little bit about that point also. What is the avodah of Naas V'Nishma that we could still, if someone did not do it on Shavuos itself, then we could still pay it back and still do it today. The next question is, in this week's Parsha, we find the Parsha's Nusoy, we find the Parsha of Nuzir next to the Parsha of Soite. So the Chazal asked the Kasha, what's the connection between the Pasha of Nuzin and the Pasha of Soite, the Pasha of a woman who acted inappropriately, and there's a whole lot of what you have to do in order to check her out if she did something wrong. You give a particular type of you give her to drink a particular type of drink, and eventually, if she did something wrong, then something bad happens to her. And it says immediately afterwards, the parash of Nuzah is talking about someone who wants to be spiritual, and he takes upon himself to become a Nuzah and not to drink wine and to do many, many different things. So what's the connection between these two parashiyas? The Chazal HaKadoshim say a very interesting thing. They say that someone who saw a soite, a woman going through this whole procedure, and he by seeing the punishment that she got for whatever she did wrong, he became very inspired. Then straight away, immediately, he should accept upon himself to become a nuzi, to become more spiritual. So the question is, if you already saw what happens when someone does something wrong, then all this happens, then why is it necessary to take upon yourself to become more spiritual? That itself should be the biggest push. So that's the famous kasha that many people ask. Another thing I'd like to discuss is people are constantly looking for different tactics and different ways of memorizing, different memory ways of being able to turn into memorize all the learning that we learn. So I'd like to suggest another mahalich of a person, how a person could memorize his learning, Buddhic Manissa, and someone who does it will basically remember everything he learns. Now, the last time we spoke, I don't know if you remember, was in the beginning of this very interesting period that we're going through now, which is the period of the coronavirus. And now, Baruch Hashem, we have to say that we're already getting towards the end of the tunnel. Hopefully, Hashem should help that it should go away completely. But we're already a lot further ahead, more towards the end than towards the beginning. So the question I hear all the time from people is that we all know that this was a period that Rabbeinu Shlomo sent us, that we should become better. To a certain extent, we should become better. We should change. So people say, I don't feel that I changed in any which way. I'm still the same person that I was in the beginning. And they feel a little bit bad about themselves. I didn't come out with anything. Was it worth going through this whole thing if I didn't really come out with anything? So I'd like to discuss that also. The last thing I'd like to mention is there's something called, people are talking about this a lot now, it's called antibodies. Antibodies, people are taking antibody tests. And basically what it means is someone already had the virus or was already exposed to the virus, very often the body builds up antibodies, and people take tests, they could see whether they're immune to getting this virus again. So obviously everything the Rebbeinu Shlomo sends us has a particular lesson that we have to take out from it. What is the lesson that we could take out from this antibody business? Last time we spoke about, I'm not going to go over the whole thing again, but we mentioned that what people go through a lot nowadays, especially nowadays, is something called negative emotions. People go through the day, it's like never before, people are suffering from anxiety, from depression, from all different types of negative feelings. And the question is, how do we deal with it? So that's what we spoke last time. So we mentioned last time that the main way to deal with it, and the most effective way to deal with it, is by internalizing the yisoidus of emuna of he levadai usu ve'oisa v'yas v'cholamas, and that the Rebbeinu Shlomo, he's the one who runs the whole world, and everything comes from him, and he's the only one that does everything, and he's a loving father. That is basically the most effective way to get rid of all these negative emotions. Now, I really would suggest for those who did not hear the last one, the last shiur, that they should, if they could, I'm sure they could find it on the Kalalushin, you could find it, the last one, because we give some practical advice of how a person could internalize this whole concept of Hilavada Usuva Usivas Khalamasim. And based on the feedback that Baruch Hashem got from people said that they really, really helped them tremendously to get through this whole period. So I definitely would like to, for those who have not heard it, I would suggest that you listen to it again. But that thing is one point I mentioned clearly, that since all the negative emotions come from our thoughts, the thoughts and the emotions are linked to each other. Any thought, negative thought that we're going to have in our mind is going to have an effect on our emotions. So therefore, as soon as we change our way of thinking, and as soon as we live and we think that any of the yisoidus of emuna, that Rebbeinu Shlomo, he's the one that's running the world, then by default, straight away, all these negative emotions will immediately fall away to the side. So the question I've heard a couple of times, from people is after sending them this message. So they say that they've tried it out and they've seen tremendous success, that as soon as the negative emotion comes on, they sit down, they internalize the status of a minute, that nothing happens by itself, and everything is from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he's a loving father, he's doing it only for our benefit and all that. And it really, really helps. It really helps. And at a certain point, it disappears. All the negative emotions disappear. But the problem is that it comes back again and again and again. And it happens so many times throughout the day. Every single time, he's mechazik himself, he strengthens himself, but still, it still keeps on coming back again and again. So I put it down like as if a person could get to a point, and everyone can get to that point, that he could feel as if he's living the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world, that he's living in paradise, that he's secure, he's safe, and he's not gonna live without any negative emotions. So they're telling me what they mean. I tried it out, and it's not the case at all. I still go through many, many negative emotions throughout the day, and I don't see that the life is getting any better. So I'd like to talk to those people and give them a short answer to that question that comes up. The way I would describe it is, I could just tell you, I'm sure most of you probably drive, and I remember when I took my driving lesson. So obviously first I had to learn the whole entire book, I had to learn through it, and I took my, I can't remember what it was called, a test to see whether I know all the answers in this book, and I had to really learn it and memorize it. And then finally it came the time that I sat down in the car, and I actually had to start driving by myself. And I remember the first few weeks after I started driving, I had to concentrate fully on everything. I couldn't listen to music. I couldn't listen to shiurim. I had to like fully focus on the road and fully focus. Okay, now I have to put the indicators on. Now I have to put the indicators off, and I have to make sure that I'm looking at all the back mirror, the front mirror. It was a tremendous pressure on me. I remember someone telling me something which was, I think it was a very, very powerful word. He said, if you want to know when you actually become a good driver, as soon as you're going to stop driving with your head and you're going to start driving with your hands, then that's going to be a symbol that you've already become a good driver. Which basically means is that at some point, the thing that we had until now was in our memory, was in our mind, it becomes part of the person. After driving, after having enough hands-on experience, it actually becomes part of the person, becomes part of him, and he no longer has to use his mind, it becomes like natural for him. He sits down in the car and instinctively he knows when he has to put the indicators on and when he has to take a right and take a left. And to a certain extent, people will think someone who concentrates, a new driver, is going to be much more alert and is going to be much more able to, to tackle difficulties. But that's not the case at all. It's on the contrary. Once you become an experienced driver, then instinctively you will know when something comes up and they have to make a sudden stop. You'll be able to do it a lot easier than someone who's only working from his mind. Now this is a thought we have to take along with us, which is very important to all areas of life, which is that any type of thing the person goes into, let's say for example the doctor, someone wants to become a doctor, he has to go through these two processes. The first process will be to learn how to become a doctor. There's many things you have to learn. You have to sit in college and sit in university for many years, and you have to study all the different things, all about medicine. But even once you've studied and you know everything about medicine, you still cannot become a doctor unless you've had hands-on experience. First, you become a friend that you go along with a proper doctor to see how he makes the operations, and then slowly but surely you start doing it yourself. And at some point, you get hands-on experience, and then you become a professional doctor. It's impossible to become a professional doctor just by your mind. Once it comes in from your mind and it becomes part of the person, only then do you become a professional doctor. Now, the way to connect the knowledge that you have in your mind and to connect it with your body is only by doing, by hands-on experience. This is the way to connect your mind to your body, to take all the knowledge and make it become part of you. And that's what every single college does in all different ways. They give you hands-on experience in order that it should become part of the person. Now, as long as something is only in your mind, then you could forget it, because the mind is something that people tend to forget. Knowledge that people have in their mind, people tend to forget. It doesn't last forever. Unless you review it again and again and again, you will forget it. But as soon as it becomes part of the person, it becomes part of the person, then it's impossible to forget, because the person can't forget his DNA. His DNA has become part of him. As long as a person hasn't yet started driving, he only has the knowledge in his mind, he will forget it at some point. As soon as he is ready and experienced driving, he will not forget it, because it's part of him, it's part of his DNA. The exact same thing applies to when it comes to the Torah. There's two ways you could approach Torah. Torah learning could be approached. People approach it like it's a secular knowledge. You're studying a particular type of knowledge, a particular type of limit of academic learning. That's not at all what Torah is all about. Torah has nothing to do with academic knowledge.
Kol Halashon.
The avoid of Torah, the way of learning Torah has to be Lilmud Aminos Lasis, which means that I'm learning in order to internalize it and to have the Torah change me. I want to become a different person. I want my DNA to change, and I should become everything I learn whether I listen to a Shia and I learn a new halacha. So immediately I try and apply it to my own life. I try and think, how is this going to change my own life? I heard a message from a Baldashan and it had an effect on me. How am I now going to change my own life based on what I learned and based on what I just heard now? And if you do it, if you learn it that way, whenever you learn a Muslim side, for anything you learn and it has an effect on you, immediately make changes in your life to make it become part of your DNA. Then it's Buddha Kaminissa, you've now preserved it, that it should stay with you forever and forever, because as soon as it becomes part of you, then you cannot forget it anymore. And the truth is, the Mishnah already mentions this, the famous Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah in Ovis says in Pirei Gimel, Mishnah Yidbais, Kol Shema'asav Meribim Me'chachmusoy Chachmusoy Miskayemes. What does that mean? Someone who is deeds are more than his knowledge, then his knowledge will be preserved. The reason for that is very simple, because since every single thing he has in his knowledge, he immediately makes it become part of his DNA. He makes changes in his life. Then he has now preserved this, and he cannot forget this anymore. I think this is the inyan of Na'aseh v'Nishma. The main message of Na'aseh v'Nishma is that Na'aseh, and only then will come the Nishma. Na'aseh means the doing. It's the deeds. It's what we do. It's the hands-on experience. Nishma is what we hear, what we internalize, it's the academic part of it. So what we are telling the Rebbeinu Shlomo is that first will come the Na'aseh. First will come the Na'aseh will always be more than the Nishma. Our deeds and our things that we do will always be more than the Nishma, and therefore it will have a key, it will be preserved and it will stay forever. I think that's also the inyan of Zeroya Soitab of Kira, which started about this question. Someone who sees this woman who did something inappropriate, and he sees the punishment that this woman got. So it had an effect on him, and he became strengthened. He became inspired by it. But if he's not going to do some physical changes in his life, then it's not going to last. It's going to fade away at some point. So therefore, Chazal Gdushim tell us immediately, Yazir Atzmim and Yain, he should accept upon himself to become more spiritual and to do some more deeds. And that way he will be able to preserve this inspiration, that the inspiration should still continue. Now I want to get back to this antibodies business. Now what's this antibodies? How does it work? So basically, I'm not a professor, but from the little bit that I heard, basically what happens is, when a person becomes exposed to this virus, or when the virus comes into the person, then immediately the immune system, it takes time till it perhaps there's something there, but as soon as it notices there's a foreign thing you're acting up, then it immediately starts fighting back. And when the body starts fighting back, it produces something which is called antibodies. It's like little soldiers in the person's body that fight back this virus. And at some point, with the Rebbeinu himself, they manage to get rid of the virus. But not only have they got rid of the virus, but they are now soldiers who stand there and they protect. That the next time, Cholila, the person is going to be exposed to this virus, and this virus is going to want to come in, these antibodies are going to be there, and they're going to stop the virus from coming in. Again, no one should rely on this. The doctors are not 100% sure whether someone who has antibodies is really immune to it. But let's take on what people say, what it looks like akapunim now, that someone who's had it is immune to getting it again. And the reason for that is because, and the same way it works with every vaccine. Every vaccine, basically what happens is they inject in the person a little bit of this, whatever virus it is that they want to stop. And that produces, it gets the body ready to fight back. It produces antibodies in the body. And then eventually when the person really is exposed to this disease or this virus, then the body is already able to overcome it and to fight back. Now, This concept is very, very useful when it comes to us. Because until now, we spoke about Torah, and we spoke about that everything has to go through these two stages, which means the first stage is the learning, the academic part of it. The second stage is to making it become part of your DNA. The exact same thing works with Emunah. We know that Emunah, that's the story, that's the foundation of Klal Yisrael, is the ending of the 13 principles of faith. That's the foundations of Ganz Yiddishkeit. The ending of Emunah, believing in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Now, Emunah also has these two stages, which means stage number one is actual believing. We believe, we know that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he's the one in charge, he's the one who created the world, he's the one who runs the entire show. We know that. But then, there's the second part, which is to internalize it and to make it become part of your DNA. And that is a very difficult job. The famous Yoshe Dever Emes says that the distance between the Vyodato, yeah, Vyodato means the knowing, and the Vahashavoyste El Lovavecho, which means to internalize it into your heart, is much further than the distance between heaven and earth. That's how far away these two things are from each other. And that's why we see that we all know, every single one of us, we all believe in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Every single Yid believes in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And that's the good news. The good news is that part number one, the academic part of it, deep down, we all have it within us. We all have it within us. And the way, one of the reasons why we have it, is because we all stood by the Mount Sinai, when that was the biggest revelation that Klal Yisrael ever had in the history. It was the most important gathering that Klal Yisrael ever had in the history, was when they stood by Mount Sinai. And Rebbeinu Shel Olam was Megale, he revealed himself to the Klal Yisrael, and every single Yid was able to see with his own eyes, was able to see that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he is the one who created the world, and he is the one who runs the whole world. And every single one of us, our souls were there by the Mount Sinai, and therefore every single one of us know it. We've seen it with our own eyes. We haven't just learned it, and we haven't just proven it from bringing different proofs from different. We've seen it with our own eyes. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he is the one who runs the entire show. So therefore, when it comes to part number one, the academic part of Emunah, then deep down, at some level, every single one of us have it. And if we see Cholila that people, they claim that the non-believers. It's not that they don't believe it, because they don't want to believe, because they are scared that if they're going to believe, they're going to have to change their lifestyle, so therefore they force themselves not to believe. But at some point, deep down, every single Yid believes. But that's only when it comes to part number one. But when it comes to part number two, which is internalizing the message, here is going to be the difference between one Yid and another. And that is why we find that some people who live with Emunah, their life is so tranquil, it's so serene, they're constantly happy, they're constantly successful, and they simply live in paradise. Whereas at the same time, there are other Yidden who also are believers, but they still suffer from depression, from anxiety, from all different negative emotions. Why is that? The difference is because the first person, he internalized it and it became part of his DNA, whereas the second person, he only has it in his mind. For him, it's only academic knowledge, but he hasn't yet had the chance to internalize it. Now, how does the person internalize it? That is, like we said before, it's through doing it, through living it, which means every single time that a person, negative emotions come up, and the person forces himself to internalize the message that comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and immediately is able to get rid of these negative emotions, then he has now created antibodies in his body. He has now created spiritual antibodies that now his body is going to become, it became part of his DNA to a certain extent. And the more he does it, the more he fights it, every single time, if he does it 10 times a day, then he's going to see the more he's going to do it, it's going to become part of him, until at some point, and I'm telling this, at some point it is going to happen and everyone could achieve it, at some point he's going to notice that most hours of the day, he is sitting in paradise, he is enjoying it, and he hasn't got things which once upon a time bothered him so much. He used to get angry, and used to get irritated, and fall into depression, used to get worried, and used to fall into anxiety. All these things are going to happen less and less and less, because the more he does it, then the more it's going to become part of him, and the more it's going to become part of his DNA, and he's no longer going to have to even internalize it. Like when a person becomes a professional driver, he no longer has to think, what do I do now? Do I make the indicators? Do I not make the indicators? It's going to become natural for him. It's going to become instinctively, he's going to already know not to get angry. He's not even going to become angry. Things that once upon a time used to bother him are not going to bother him anymore. But obviously, it's a procedure. You have to go through a training period. That's like everything. Always, that's the way it works. You have to go through a training. We have to know, when people, you know, that go through a training, there's a big danger when you train yourself to do a new thing. The danger is, so when therapists take people and they, you know, they have phobias, so they want to expose them to this phobia in order that they should be able to overcome it, there is a certain danger to it, because if they're going to expose them too much, it's going to become dangerous for them. So we have to know, that's why you need to have a professional guide to make sure not to expose you too much. So we have to know that we are going through a training period, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is actually training us every single step through the way. And he is extremely professional, and he knows that he's not going to send us a challenge which is going to be too difficult for us. So he's going to send us like small little challenges throughout the day. That person's going to have a challenge to become angry, to become anxiety, to become depressed. And every single time, he's going to overcome it, and it's going to become more and more part of his DNA. So there's a famous story of Reb Leib al-Aigeh. Reb Leib al-Aigeh, he was the Einikul, a grandson of the famous Gaon Rebbe Akiva Eiger. So he went and he became a chusid, and he became a chusid of the Kotzke Rebbe. His father wasn't very happy that he became a disciple of the Kotzke Rebbe. You know, they weren't part of the Hasidim. When he finally came back home, he asked him, what did you learn from your Rebbe? What did he teach you? So Reb Leib al-Aigeh said, he taught me, now I know that there is a Rebbeinu Shel Olam on the world. So his father asked him, what do you mean? Who doesn't know? Let's call in the maid servant. Let's call in the maid servant. Let's ask her if she knows. So they call in the maid servant, and the father asks the maid servant, is there a Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Who created the world? So she says, of course, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created it. So the father said, so that you have to go all the way to Kotzk? Even she knows this. So he said, no, she says it, but I know it. Which means that for him, it became part of his DNA. And that this is something that the person has to know, that once it becomes part of the DNA, then not only is it going to help you in the future, but it's going to go down to your coming generations, because once it becomes part of the person, then it becomes part of the DNA, then even the coming generations are also going to have it within it, which is why we, every single Yid, have the ability to live with Amunah, because we descend from the Ovos HaKadoshim, and we descend from Avraham Avinu, who has already gone through all the Asura Nisyonos, so therefore we already have it within ourselves. The Heilige Ramban says that Mashiach will come not because of the mass and of the deeds that we're going to do, it's going to come in the Schus of Amunah, which is why it's so important to internalize the Inyan of Amunah. Which is again coming back to the question where the person asked me that he doesn't see any change within himself, he's the same person. The answer is, you're not the same person. You are not the same person, because if you've gone through even once that you have to internalize the concept of Amunah, then you have created spiritual antibodies within yourself, and you are now a completely different person. You, to a certain extent, you are already immune to the problems of Amunah. At some point, obviously, the more you do it, and the more you're going to become immune to it, and the more it's going to become part of your DNA. So you are not the same person that you were from the beginning. You have changed dramatically. And even if you can't see the changes are there. Just like when a person produces antibodies, he doesn't feel the change, but it is there within his body. I will finish off with one final story, which brings out the point that every single Yid, no matter how far he is, deep down, he already has the Inyan of Amunah. He is a believer, because every single Yid, we have it within our DNA. At least the first part, the part of the believing in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's an unbelievable story, Einikul, of the Saif Leguan was sitting in a bus in Etzisrul. Next to him, he had a Yid, who obviously was not from, was sitting next to him on the seat next to him. And he was sitting over without a kapel, and he turns to this yeshiva bocha and he says, I am Kippur Jew. So this fellow, the bocha, told him, what do you mean? So am I. He said, no. I am Kippur Jew. So he says, what do you mean? Could you explain yourself? So he said, I'll explain what I mean. He said, I was in Siberia, and I went through terrible torture then in Siberia. I had to work extremely hard. I was a week before Yom Kippur, and I decided there's no way I could work on Yom Kippur. I went to the boss, who was called the Nachalnik, and I went to him and I told him, is there any way I could take off next week, this Monday, next week, Wednesday? The Nachalnik said, no, you're going to take off that day, you will be killed straight away. So he said, So maybe I should, so what could I do? Maybe I should pretend that I'm not well. He said, no, that's not going to work. If you pretend you're not well, then they're going to kill you. They don't like people who are not well. They only like healthy people. So he said, what could I do? He said, go to the dentist. And maybe if the dentist says that, you know, you have toothache, then maybe that will be a good enough reason that you shouldn't have to work. And they won't kill you. I went to the dentist. The dentist said, I can't pretend as if you have a dental problem because they're going to catch me. But if you want, I could do something to your tooth and therefore you really will have a toothache. I said, what could you do? He said, very simple, I'll pull out one of your teeth. And we're talking without anesthesia, and that's what happened. He went to the dentist the next Wednesday. The dentist pulled out his tooth without any anesthesia, without putting him to sleep, simply with a tweezers. He pulled out his tooth, and you can imagine the excruciating pain that this person had to go through. The Shiva Bukhu was there. He couldn't believe that here we are, a fry yid. And this is what he was, the mysterious nefesh that he had for Yom Kippur. But the seed opened up his mouth, and he said, look at my mouth. And he showed him there were six teeth that were missing. He said, I was in Siberia for 6 years running. Every single year Yom Kippur, this is what I did. That shows this is a yid. Every single yid, no matter how far he is, we have it within ourselves, the concept of Amunah. All we have to do now is to make it become part of our DNA, and then Be'ezat Hashem Itzburach, we'll be able to live in paradise Bo'ilam Azeh, and we'll be Zoyche Bekurev Mamish to the Ge'ilah Shleime, and Mashiach will come speedily in our days, like we mentioned before from the Ramban, that in the Schiz of Aminah, Mashiach will come B'mehayru B'yamayni Umay Shkoyach.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.